I'd like to welcome you all to the Turn Your Publicity into Speaking Engagements teleseminar. Tonight we're going over a lot of information about publicity, about the speaking business, how to bridge them together. I'll be answering questions that came in by email during the week, and I will be giving you a nice overview and lots of detail about how to turn your publicity into speaking engagements. And the reason I picked speaking engagements is, as I have said many times, I am one of the most in-demand, highest-paid speakers out there. I think it is the best business to be in. There is no doubt in my mind that if you know how the speaking business works and you work it the way it should be worked, like a business, it is, in my opinion, the best business out there. It's fun, it's profitable, it's very prestigious, and using publicity to get speaking engagements is a brilliant combination of two very powerful tools that you have. To give you an idea of how profitable the speaking business can be, in my hand I have copies, since I deposited the originals, I have copies of checks, and here are a few that I'm just looking at right here. $43,856.50. These are all for one speaking engagement. $38,277.50. $123,628.63. Here's another one for $46,881.06. Another one for $26,828.50. Well, that must have been a slow day. $26,828. Last weekend was an $87,125 speaking engagement. These are all for individual speaking engagements. This is not per month or per year. This is for an individual speaking engagement. So if you're going about the speaking business the right way, it can be very, very prestigious. It can be very exciting, a lot of fun, and it can certainly be extremely profitable. So how do you combine publicity and the speaking business? What's the bridge in between the two? Well, if you're following my publicity system, and I am going to assume, I'm not going to go into detail about my publicity system, that's not the purpose of this call. If you're following my publicity system and you know how to write the press release, you know what it looks like, the bio, the Q&A, you know how to answer the quiz questions that the reporter will give you before he books you for an interview, if you know what to say when he books the interview, that's great, because that's one of the basics that you need. You need to know how to get that press release into the hands of the reporter, and how to make it look right. Keep in mind, and I keep stressing this, that your press release has to look right. If it doesn't look right, it goes nowhere, because that's the first thing that the reporter looks at. He doesn't read a word. He just wants to know visually, does my press release look the way it should? If it looks right, the next thing they look at is the headline. And again, if you're following my system, you know how easy it is to follow those formula headlines that I give you, literally filling in the blanks. So it takes you 10 seconds to do the headline and then write your press release. There are two ways that you can use publicity to get speaking engagements, and they're both just fine. I'm not saying one is better than the other. There are two major ways. I'm sure there are lots of other little ways, but I'm going to talk about the two big ways to get speaking engagements using publicity, and then I'm going to go into detail about the speaking business. The first way to use publicity to get speaking engagements is to send out stories just the way that you would, but keeping in mind who you would like to speak for. So, for example, let's say you would like to speak to the Women's Garden Club. And that's not a bad idea, by the way. That's, in fact, if you're starting out, that's a great place to start. The Women's Garden Club, the horticulture groups, the equestrian clubs, these are all great places to start speaking. You can write press releases without even mentioning the Women's Garden Club. You wouldn't mention that in your press release, but you would talk about a topic that they specifically are interested in. Now, how would you know what they're interested in? Well, you could go to a meeting if it's a local group. You could get their newsletter. You could go to their website. You could see what topics they're talking about. If they have a discussion board, you're in. I mean, that's just the best. If they have a discussion board, go onto their discussion board. How do you find their discussion board? See if they have a website. If they have a website, and how do you find out if they have a website? You just contact the organization. So again, we'll say that it's the Women's Garden Club. you contact them and you say, hi, do you have a newsletter or do you have a website? I'm interested in the meetings that you have and the topics that you're talking about. And they say, sure, we have both, actually. You can go to our website, which is, and they give you the website, and they'll say, right on the website, you can see a copy of our latest newsletter. Well, you have great sources of information right now. So you go to the Women's Garden Club website, and sure enough, there's the latest issue of their newsletter. Open up the newsletter, download it, whatever you have to do on that website, and read what they're talking about. They may be talking about mulching in the spring. They may be talking about how to get rid of moles in your gardens, whatever the topic happens to be. And you are a person who has a gardening background. In fact, that's what your business is. You will send out press releases aimed specifically at the topics that they are talking about currently. Notice I didn't say look in the back issues of their newsletters. Well, that's old news. You want to stay as current and as fresh as you can. Now, the perfect scenario would be they also have a discussion board. Go on to their discussion board. See what they're talking about today. And if you've been on discussion boards, you know that every posting has a date listed. See what they're talking about today. Again, let's say today they're talking about, well, it's getting to be springtime, and we have to put down whatever we're going to put down, Milky Spore or Ridex, to make sure that we don't get Japanese beetles, so we don't get grubs and we don't have moles. And that's the conversation today. Perfect. Today, get out a press release, and again, if you're following my system, we're talking about 10 minutes or so, put together a press release talking about the 7 key steps to eliminating grubs and moles from your springtime gardens, and send it out today. The media will pick it up. You will either be on radio or newspapers, whatever, in your local area. Now, who is going to see this? Well, people from the garden club will see it, but you don't want to wait for them to see it. If that happens, that's great. They will call you and they'll say, wow, this is so timely. Just yesterday we had this discussion about how to get rid of grubs in our springtime gardens, and today I open up the newspaper and here's your article. Do you ever speak to groups? Bang, you got a speaking engagement right there. But don't wait for that to happen. Get back on the discussion board or contact the organization and say, hi, I was just on your discussion board yesterday and I saw that you were talking about how to get rid of grubs in your garden, how to prevent moles from getting into your garden and destroying your plants. Well, in today's newspaper, there's a big interview with me, and I talk specifically about how to solve that problem. So you may want to look at the article, and if you would like, I would be happy to come and speak to your group. You can do this over and over and over. Identify who you want to speak to, and then put out press releases talking about topics that are very current in that group. How do you find these groups? Go to the Chamber of Commerce in your area or the library. Either one of those places or both will have the lists of the community organizations. If you're a new speaker, this is a phenomenal place to start. It is probably the best place to start speaking, community and civic groups. Now, I'm not just talking about the Rotary and Kiwanis. They're fine. There's nothing wrong with them at all. But there are dozens, if not hundreds, of other organizations in your area. And by in your area, I mean within, 10 or 20 miles. So you can go out and give 2 or 3 talks a day and be home in time for dinner. The other way to do it is to go fishing. You don't know who's out there. You don't know who you want to talk to, but you are fishing with your press releases. So you send out press releases on the topics that you want to talk to groups about. And when you do your interviews with the media people, you make sure that you bring up the idea that you are a speaker, you are available to talk about this topic to local civic community groups in the area. And make sure that that gets out during your radio interviews, your newspaper interviews, TV, whatever. And it's a very easy thing to do. And in fact, the media people will like the idea that you're mentioning that, because not only are you giving them a good story, you're also providing another community service. I always like the idea of combining the two. I don't like just pure fishing. You're just depending on happenstance and luck and chance, hoping that people will come across your press releases and your interviews and your stories. That's good, but as often as you can, also start to focus in on the groups that you want to talk to. The more focusing you can do and the more active you are in seeking out these groups, the more speaking engagements you're going to get. Now, can you just call up the groups and ask if they need speakers? Well, sure you can. But think about how much more impressive it will be. Think of how much more they will think of you. Think of how much more of a celebrity you will be if not only are you offering to speak, but you also have been in the media. If you've been following my blog, if you've been following my newsletter, if you've been listening to my talks, my speeches around the country, you know how hard I'm hitting on the idea of becoming a celebrity, making yourself a celebrity. You have no choice whatsoever anymore. You have no choice but to make yourself a celebrity. You must make yourself a celebrity because as of February of 2007, we are no longer a credential society. A credential society simply means we used to be a society of people who, before we dealt with someone, wanted to know what their credentials are. Where did you go to school? What honors did you get? What kind of recommendations can you provide for me? These are all credentials. Unfortunately, and I truly mean that, I think it's unfortunate, we are no longer a credential society. We have become a celebrity-obsessed society as of February of 2007 because of one event that happened in February of 2007, and we are now a celebrity-obsessed society. What does that mean to you? That means that, in fact, I was just talking to my neighbor about this yesterday, and this is a very important point. It is no longer true that the person who is the best in his or her field makes the most money. That is no longer true. It used to be you wanted to go to the best surgeon, you wanted the best landscaper, you wanted the best chiropractor, you wanted the best whoever. Unfortunately, that pretty much doesn't matter anymore. What does matter is who is the celebrity surgeon, who is the celebrity chiropractor, who's the celebrity landscaper, and how do you become a celebrity? It's very, very simple. When you appear in the media, whether it's radio, TV, newspapers, or magazines, you automatically become a celebrity. That's how celebrity-crazed society has become. And I don't only mean American society. I see there are people on the call from out of the United States. I mean this is all around the world. People are berserk over celebrities. The most minuscule person around has become a celebrity. At my talks or at seminars around the country, you know that I tell you about the woman who reads the lottery number in New York State every night on TV in New York. I don't live in New York. I live in New Jersey, but we get the New York State broadcast here. The woman who reads the lottery number every night, notice I didn't say she picks the number. The ping pong ball machine picks the number. But she just reads the number and she says, tonight's winning lottery number is 9328. 9328. Thank you for watching. That's it. This woman every year goes to the New York State Fair. And every year, there are lines of people who want her autograph. Do you understand the power of the media and the power of celebrity status? Would anybody consider a woman who reads the winning lottery number a celebrity? Well, you and I might not, but talk to the people at the New York State Fair who are posing with her for photographs, getting autographs, talking to her about her life. You must become a celebrity. So when you go to these speaking engagements and there are a bunch of articles, or even better, if you've been on radio and TV, you come in as a celebrity. Getting speaking engagements becomes a whole lot easier when you become a celebrity. Let's start talking about the speaking business. Why would you want to get into the speaking business? Well, I gave you one example already, money. It can be a very lucrative business if you know how to run it as a business. And I'll talk about that more in just a little while. Fame. Instant fame. If you become a speaker, and if you've ever seen me speak at seminars, if you were at Bill Glazer's and Dan Kennedy's seminar this past weekend, you saw what happened after I finished. People wanted to pose for photographs. I was signing autographs, talking to people for the entire 3 days. Instant fame. Am I a celebrity? Well, to the people down the block, I'm not. But to the people at that seminar, I am. That's what you must do, and it is not difficult at all. Branding is another benefit of being in the speaking business and being a speaker. Notice I say being in the speaking business, not just being a speaker. Everybody is a speaker. We all speak, but are you actually in the business? So branding you as a very valuable commodity. I have successfully branded myself as a very valuable commodity all throughout, I was going to say the United States, but around the world, using the techniques that we're talking about tonight. And positioning. Positioning is a huge benefit of being in the speaking business. And by positioning, I mean, let's say that you're in a community with 147 real estate agents. Certainly not an exaggerated number. If you're in any reasonably sized city, 147 real estate agents is probably a tiny little number. If you are combining publicity and you're being interviewed on radio, TV, newspapers, and magazines, and you are speaking, you have risen to the top of the group of real estate agents in your area, because it is extremely doubtful and almost, I find it almost impossible to believe that anyone else, any other of those real estate agents are doing the same thing. If they're using publicity at all, they're probably doing it wrong. And are they combining publicity with speaking? The chances of that are almost zero. So you have now positioned yourself as a celebrity real estate agent. Your name is out there, your fame, your branding, all of this. These are free benefits with combining publicity and the speaking business. Another benefit of being in the speaking business and combining the publicity that you get, and I'll repeat this one again, I just said it, I'll keep saying it during this call, you become an instant celebrity, and that gives you instant status. Instant celebrity, instant status. If you think about the people on TV, on these home makeover shows, you've seen a whole bunch of them on there. There are people who are carpenters, plumbers, electricians. They have become celebrities. What were they before they were on TV? Carpenters, plumbers, and electricians. But simply because they're on TV, they now get speaking engagements. They get lots of publicity. They're instantly seen as celebrities, and their status skyrockets, absolutely skyrockets. Spending your time as a speaker and spending time learning the business, and most importantly, spending time creating a great talk, and we'll talk about how to do that. If you spend time to create a great talk, it can provide you with a tremendous living for a long, long time. If you have heard me speak at seminars all around the world for 11 years, you heard me give the same talk. Now, my talk just changed last year. There were a whole bunch of reasons. After 11 years, it had a great run. But 12 years ago, I spent the time to put together this talk. It has provided me with a tremendous income for 11 years. Now, could I have used the same talk for several more years? I probably could have. But there were so many new things that I wanted to put in the talk, so many changes that had happened, that I wanted to redo the talk. So if you were at this seminar this past weekend in Nashville, you heard the new talk. I've only given that. That was only the third time. So you'll see the value of spending time putting together a great talk and then getting publicity for this great talk, combining the two. A lot of people don't think that they have to learn the speaking business. They're saying, well, I can speak. All I have to do is get up there and talk about what I'm passionate about. Well, keep dreaming about that. You keep dreaming about that. The speaking business is like any other business. It is driven by publicity. And it is continuously driven by that great talk that you have put together. But like any other business, there are rules to follow. There are different standards. There are contracts and agreements that you have to understand and know how to work them. If you don't want to do that, can you get speaking engagements? Well, sure you can, but you probably will be taken advantage of because you don't know what should be in a contract, what shouldn't be in a contract, how the money is divided, who gets what, travel, transportation, lodging, speaking time, how much time do you get, all the little things. It's like any other business. But again, the great thing about the speaking business is you can learn it quickly. you can learn what you need to know. You can learn the basics in a weekend. For those of us who've gone to college, you know it took us 4 years to learn something. And I'm not sure how much we learned that we were able to value. If you didn't go to college, it took you 12 years to go through high school to do what? And now I'm telling you, in a weekend or a week at the most, you can learn the basics of what you need to succeed in the speaking business. It is not simply about getting up and talking. I want to answer one of the questions. I got quite a few questions. I got a lot of questions. A number of them were essentially the same. So I combined a number of the similar questions into one question. So if you don't hear your exact question, but it's on the same topic, it just means I combined some words and I got the idea across, because you were all asking the same question. Quite a few of you were asking about how to put together a price schedule, your fee schedule. That's what you all said, your fee schedule. Well, that told me quite a few things about you. You wanted to know how you set your fees for keynotes, for breakouts, and things like that. Well, I know what organization you're a member of, first of all. I know what books you're reading, and in my opinion, you're on the wrong path. And here's why. The speaking business used to be driven by this whole idea of keynotes and breakouts. That was in the 1980s or so, maybe even earlier than that. That has not been the way the speaking business is run for quite a long time. But the bigger reason is, let's say that I tell you that a keynote goes for $5,000, and I just picked that number out of the air. In fact, I spoke at a seminar where someone, I'm sure they're in the same organization, I'm sure they're following the same guidelines that all the people in that group believe, and this person was speaking, and I spoke to her after her talk, which was not very good, and she was beaming because she got $5,000 to speak. And I said, stick around for a little while, and I think your jaw is going to drop when you see what the speaking business is really like. And speaker after speaker was up there, and I know they were making $40,000, $50,000, $60,000. So the quote-unquote keynote speaker was a bargain at $5,000, and a lot of money was left on the table because she didn't understand how the speaking business works. So understand that. Forget this idea about keynotes and breakouts and fee schedules. I'm not interested in that. I don't think you should be interested in that. I'm going to show you a different way that it can be far, far, far more profitable than that fee schedule idea. And in fact, if you've ever seen my speaker agreement, if I've ever spoken for you, you know, I don't even charge a fee. I don't charge it. In fact, I don't even want a fee. And we'll talk about that in just a little while. Have you ever heard or seen a speaker that made you sit there and say, I can do better than that, but you wonder why you aren't doing it? The reason is they understand the speaking business. That's why they are there. They are on stage because they understand it. They may not even be a great speaker. I'll bet you you're right. I'll bet you probably could do better than them. But they're the ones who are standing up there making the money because they understand how it works. If you want to insist on a fee schedule, if you want to stick with that, that's fine, but I don't know that I'm going to have a whole lot more advice for you, because that is a whole different world of speaking. To me, I call that the rough road to speaking. I want to get on Easy Street. I want to get on the easiest road possible. If you don't love the speaking business, or if you haven't even gotten started, if you're in the speaking business and you don't love it, or if you haven't even gotten started, you got to be going about it the wrong way. There's something wrong with what you're doing. Yeah, I know the travel wears you out. I've been speaking now for 20 years or so. And sure, the travel wears you out. But in the beginning you have some travel, in the end you have some travel, and everything else in the middle should be a ball. It should be a lot of fun if you're doing it right. So let's talk about the speaking business and what you need. And all of this, remember, is constantly driven by publicity. So when you get a speaking engagement, you send out a press release. When you are doing your speaking engagement, you can be doing local interviews in the area. I've done that often. If I'm speaking in San Antonio, Texas, we'll contact the media people in advance and say, Paul's going to be in San Antonio speaking about this. Would you like him on your show, or would you like to do an interview for your newspaper? I'll be right there. We can do it live. After your speaking engagement is over, you're going to send out a press release about what happened during your speaking engagement. So it is constantly, constantly, constantly publicity driven. And all these press releases should be very easy. There should be 10 minutes or so to write, 10 minutes, 15 minutes or so. And you want to develop a huge portfolio of media, whether it is clippings from magazines and newspapers, whether it's CD recordings or MP3 recordings of interviews you did, or DVDs of TV appearances that you made. Because when other people want to book you, they will say, well, what have you done? So you'll have a track record, but you'll also say, look at this publicity I can get. Look at all the publicity I can get from me. If I'm going to be speaking at your seminar, I'll tell you I'm going to do local interviews, and they're going to be saying, where are you speaking tomorrow? And I will say, at your seminar. So I'll be promoting your seminar as well. Can you now see the huge difference between this type of speaker, the one who says, look at this huge portfolio I have of media successes, and look at how I can promote your seminar for you, and look at what a media sweetheart I am, and look what a celebrity I am, versus the kind of person who says, well, here's my fee schedule. I want you to write me out a check for $5,000, $8,000, $10,000, whatever it is, and that's all you're going to get. You're going to get me speaking for an hour or 90 minutes or whatever. Enormous difference between the two types of speakers. Just think this out logically. Which of the two speakers do you think will be more successful? I think it's pretty clear. That's why I don't have any interest in that whole fee structure type of speaking. So the first thing that you need then to have a successful speaking business is a clear understanding of how the business works. The next thing you need to be successful in the speaking business is a hard topic. Write this down, because it is so critical that you understand the difference between a hard topic and a soft topic. Hard topics will get you more media coverage. You will have far more publicity opportunities with a hard topic than with a soft topic. A hard topic, for example, is how to sell on eBay. Why is it a hard topic? It's a hard topic because it can be clearly and cleanly measured. Today is Monday. On Friday, I will see how much money I made. From Monday to Friday, I was selling on eBay. Did I make money? Yes. If so, how much? I made $1,281 on eBay. Good. Easy to measure. Very clean. A soft topic, on the other hand, is difficult, if not impossible, to measure. Soft topics, for example, are motivation, self-improvement. Now, you may say you can measure self-improvement. How can you do that? If you're saying, I will teach you how to increase your IQ, well, to me, that's not self-improvement. That's increasing your IQ. But the whole idea of be a better person, how do you measure be a better person? You may say, well, I ask my friends, and they'll all say, wow, you're a much better person. How do they measure that? They're just saying that. How do you measure motivation? Well, I feel better when I jump out of bed. Okay, then what? What happens at 3 o'clock in the afternoon? So a soft topic is one that is very difficult, if not impossible, to measure results. It's difficult to get speaking engagements, and it's more difficult to get publicity. It's more difficult for a soft topic than a hard topic. So if you got a soft topic, it's going to be harder to get publicity and much harder to get speaking engagements. If you have a hard topic, the hard topic, again, is one where the results can be easily and cleanly measured. If you say, with my product, you will increase your AdWords results by 37%. Very easy to measure. Did you use the person's product? Did your AdWords result, Google AdWords result, increase by 37%? If it did, it works. Simple to measure. Easier to get publicity. Easier to get more story ideas with a hard topic. Soft topic, tougher to get publicity. Hard topic, easier to get speaking engagements. If you've gone to big seminars, like the one in Nashville this past weekend, you did not see anybody talking about soft topics. Every speaker there was talking about a hard topic. They defined it, they told you how to measure it, and they gave proof that what they're saying is true. When I was talking about publicity, I was giving very clear examples of publicity that I've gotten. I was giving them very clear examples of how they can get publicity, how they can measure it. Did they send out a press release? Did they get calls? Did they get in the newspaper? Did they get on radio? So you must have a hard topic. The good news is almost all soft topics can be made hard very easily. So for example, if you are talking about a soft topic, an easy way to go from soft to hard. In fact, let me give you a very specific example. Let's say that you are talking about poetry. You write poetry. Very tough to get speaking engagements. In the big seminars, you just will not get speaking engagements. Very tough to get publicity. But let's say you talk about how to make money being a poet. How to publish your own book of poetry and get it in the bookstores. Do you see how easy they are to measure? Well, how to make money being a poet. All right, I'll follow your system, and then a month, I'll see if I made money with my poetry. Easy to measure. So almost all soft topics can be made hard very easily. The next thing you need to have a successful speaking business is a product. That product can be a book, it can be CDs, software, real estate, investment opportunities, consulting time, it can be coaching programs, it can be pizzas, it can be bicycle tires, it can be clothes for drag queens, and the best product of all is you. If you have no other product, you can be the product. You can do consulting. Great product. But without a product, the road to easy street speaking is going to be very, very rough. It's very rough. If you've gone to seminars, you know that all the speakers have products they make available to the audience. With no product, you now become an expense. If I go to a seminar promoter and I say, look at all the publicity that I've gotten. I've been on the newspaper, radio, TV, and all that. And the seminar promoter says, well, are you going to use that to promote my seminar? And you say, well, no, I just want a speaking engagement. Okay, well, what's your deal? And you say, well, I charge $10,000 to come in and speak. And the seminar promoter says, well, do you have a product to sell? Well, no, I'm just going to come and speak, and I want $10,000 to do that. You now are an expense. But if I go to a seminar promoter and I say, I got all this publicity about my previous speaking engagements, I can help you get publicity, and I have a great product to sell, and I don't even charge a speaking fee, now I am no longer an expense. I am a revenue generator. That is key. Make sure you write that down. If you are an expense, such as you have that fee schedule we were talking about, the keynote, the breakout, and everything else, you are an expense. Instead, if you have products, you are a revenue generator. Extremely important. Extremely important. We're about halfway through. I'm going to pause just for a minute or two here for a little commercial. And this is the web address I want to give you. A lot of you have been there already. The web address is growyourspeakingbusiness.com. We'll get back to the second half of the teleseminar in just a minute. But the web address, grow, G-R-O-W, your, Y-O-U-R, speaking, business.com. growyourspeakingbusiness.com. If you go to growyourspeakingbusiness.com, you'll see that there are lots of resources there for speakers. You can listen to my free teleseminar, or you can download it, How to Be Wildly Successful in the Speaking Business. There's a terrific ebook there called Speaking for Profit. I highly recommend it. I have an e-zine, a newsletter, an electronic newsletter I send out that's free. There is a DVD of a talk by Dan Kennedy. If you are not familiar with Dan Kennedy, you are missing out on a goldmine of information. If you know Dan Kennedy, you know how tremendous his information is. I've got a DVD there, How to Make Your Fortune with Information Products, the information products business combined with the speaking business. That is a grand slam. On growyourspeakingbusiness.com, you'll see that I have Dan Kennedy's book, Big Mouth, Big Money. I have one copy left, and no, that is not any type of sales gimmick there. I have one copy left. When that one is sold, that listing will come down. I have my professional speaker training system, and that's what you should be looking at. I am not currently offering any live speaker training. I do that here in New Jersey. I am not planning to do it anytime soon, probably not anytime in 2008. But the professional speaker training system is everything that happened during the training that I did right here in New Jersey. So if you'll click on that link, you'll see professional speaker training system. It will explain the entire system. It's word for word recording, all the manuals, all the forms, and everything else that I handed out to the people who were at the training. The people who went to the training paid $5,000 each to go there. There were no freebies. There were no discounts. Every single person who took that training paid $5,000. And I'll speak about that a little more in a while. At that website again, growyourspeakingbusiness.com. Growyourspeakingbusiness.com. Okay, let's get back to the information. You should know how to get booked. You've got to know how to get booked the easy ways and avoid the hard ways. What are the hard ways? The hard ways are the ways that I'm guessing the vast majority of quote-unquote speakers try to get speaking engagements. And the hard way is getting the book of meeting planners, for example, and going through that entire directory every year and sending out your promotional packages and brochures, a four-color brochure, a video, a DVD, whatever else, trying to convince the meeting planner to hire you to speak. Another tough way of getting speaking engagements, as far as I'm concerned, is going to showcases. A showcase, often called a cattle call, is a day or a weekend where you will pay to get 10 or 15 minutes or so on stage. And it's a little preview of what your talk is like. The people see you. In the audience, there are people who book speakers. So they will see you. They will see your best 10 or 15 minutes. They'll see what you look like. They'll hear your talk. They'll see how you present. Keep in mind that there will be lots of speakers there, all wanting their 10 or 15 minutes. Can you get speaking engagements that way? Yep. To me, that's rough. It's expensive. It's rough. You got to keep traveling to these places, and you have lots and lots of competition. The easier way, using publicity to make sure that you position yourself as a celebrity, make copies of your publicity available, have a product available, have a track record, and we'll talk about a track record in just a little while. That's the winning combination right there. You have a track record where you can show big-time seminar promoters, small-time seminar promoters, everybody in between. Depending on where you are, you want to convince these people that you can get the job done. Do you need a demo video? We'll talk about that in a little while, but I'll tell you in advance, I have never had a demo video. I don't have one now. I can't imagine ever having one. Does that mean you never need a demo video? No, there are times when you will need a demo video, and I will talk about that in just a few minutes. Another step in having a wildly successful speaking business. I mentioned this earlier. I'll go into a little more detail now. And I had mentioned earlier that if you are just getting into the speaking business, and in fact, I'll go one step back. I'll back up one step, and I'll answer a question here, which is an excellent question. The question is it normal to experience stage fright with the obvious butterflies, shaking hands, and obvious quiver sound to the voice? Aside from being familiar with the subject matter, is there some other secret way to control this most horrid fear? Yikes! That certainly is positioning that question, isn't it? Yes. There are lots of ways to do it. The first thing I recommend, if you are nervous or you think you're going to get nervous or you've never been a speaker before, the very first thing I would recommend is that you run a few teleseminars just like this. I am sitting in my office right now. I'm wearing a t-shirt and shorts, and I have sandals on. I'm sitting at my desk in my easy chair with my headset on doing this teleseminar talking to, well, I don't have a I'm not going to count all these people right now. I'm talking to, I can see on the screen, a lot of people. This is a great way to get started. You can either mute everybody the way I have them now, or you can have a small teleconference and talk back and forth. Either way, you're going to get confidence, you're going to get more comfortable. And then build up from there. Then start with community and civic organizations I mentioned earlier. You can get those lists right from the library, or you can get them from the Chamber of Commerce. Start with the small groups right in your hometown, the Environmental Society, all kinds of different groups. You will find I used to live in a modest-sized town, 30,000 people or so. There were literally over 100 of these small groups just in that one town. So your opportunities are endless. Start there and then build up big. But a better way. Now, you mentioned in the question, I don't know who this person was because I only have the questions in front of me. You mentioned, aside from being familiar with the subject matter, you've got to do more than be familiar with the subject matter. I love watching professional football. I couldn't care what teams are playing. That's not what I'm looking for. That's not what I really appreciate and admire. What I appreciate and admire is how these guys on the field react to situations. Notice that they never think. If you can just see that they're reacting. It's all reaction time. And the reason they're doing that is they know their plays. They know their positions. They know the game so well that everything is automatic. If you have to think, you're not playing in the NFL. You're playing on some little dirt lot. Same thing with being a fighter pilot in the Air Force. These guys never think. There is no thinking when you're flying in combat. You are so good. You know your stuff so well that it's automatic. I was a paramedic for 15 years in a really rough area in New Jersey. We were constantly on the run with extreme cases. We didn't treat people with colds and things like that. We treated people with multiple gunshot wounds and amputations and all kinds of disasters. If we had to think, we would lose patience. We were so good, we knew what we were doing, that it was automatic. And that's what I want to say to you. That's what I want to get across to you. You don't just have to know your stuff. You don't have to be familiar with it. It's got to be automatic. That does not include memorizing it. When you memorize your talk, you're dead. And the reason is that if you are interrupted in the middle of your talk, you're lost. If the fire alarm goes off, if somebody says something, if somebody shouts something out, if a chair falls over, you will lose your spot. You'll be lost. So don't memorize. You've got to be your talk. If you've ever seen me talk about publicity and my whole Brooklyn Bridge story, you'll know I never refer to notes. And you'll also notice that if you've heard me more than once, I never do the exact same speech. So you're not hearing a memorized talk. You're just hearing me tell my story. So start with the teleseminars, go to the community groups, go bigger and bigger and bigger, but you got to know your stuff, and it's got to be part of your genetics. It can't just be in your brain. Okay, let's move on. Another thing you need to have a wildly successful speaking business, you have to know when to use a demo video and a brochure and when not to. The big marketing seminars, the ones put on by Dan Kennedy, Bill Glazer, and people like that, if you have a demo video and a brochure, what you're actually saying to them is, I have no idea how this business works. So people like that don't care about your demo video or brochure. I put on seminars. If speakers send me a demo video and a brochure, I have no idea. I just toss them out. I don't even look at them because what they said to me is, I don't know how your speaking business works. I know how that other speaking business works. They all want demo videos and brochures. When do you need a demo video and a brochure? You're going to need a demo video and a brochure if you're speaking to colleges, high schools, or corporations. They're going to want to see a demo video and a brochure. If you're going to get a demo video, don't have your Uncle Nicky do it with his new camera that he got for Christmas. Have a professional shoot a professional demo video. It will be worth every penny that you pay for it. Same thing with the brochure. If you're going to have a brochure done, you've got to have a real marketing-oriented brochure, not the kind that probably 99% of speakers have. A photograph of them on the front holding a big microphone or getting off a Learjet that's really not theirs anyway, talking on the phone, something like that, and then their fee schedule inside, that's just a loser. It is just a dead loser. You've got to have a marketing-driven brochure. But if you're not going to speak to colleges, high schools, or corporations, chances are you don't need a demo video and a brochure, and actually they will hurt you if you offer them because, again, you're saying, I don't know how this business works. All right. Next, to have a wildly successful speaking business, you must learn control techniques. Controlling yourself, of course, with the nervousness and everything else. Do I get nervous now? You know, I've been doing this for 20 years. Was I nervous as a paramedic after my first year or two? No, I really wasn't. You'll hear people say, I get nervous every time I go up and speak. No, I think that's just bravado. I think they're saying that. All my friends who are speakers, we can't wait to get up there. Are we nervous? No, we're excited. Let me up there because I know I'm going to do a great job. I love what I'm doing, and I'm going to do a great job. But more importantly, you have to learn to control the audience. If you've seen me speak, you know that I never open up to questions. Never. You should consider very carefully if you're going to open to questions. Remember now, you are combining your publicity with your speaking engagements. So you are a celebrity. People are going to want to talk to you in the middle of your talk. The reason I never allow questions during my talk is I have now given up control of my talk. I know how many minutes I'm allotted. I know that I had better end on time. I will stay for days and talk to people after my talk, but no questions during my talk. And if you've seen me speak, you know that I ask the audience one question, and then I'll take answers, but I will not open it up to questions. You have to know how to gently stop questions. If that doesn't do it, you have to know how to get a little firmer, 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 until there are no more questions. So consider carefully whether you want to open up to questions. And also, you never know what question is going to be asked. You could have somebody up there with a microphone in their hand, and they just got down from Jupiter. And they are going to ask you this interplanetary question that makes no sense at all. There goes your talk. So be really careful about that. Now, critical information here. Critical information. Remember, if you've done things right, if you've used publicity, you are coming in there already with that celebrity halo. Now you've got to know how to create the first and the last words of your talk. The most important words of a talk are the first words that come out of your mouth. The second most important words are the last words that come out of your mouth. And you know how most people end their talk. They just kind of fizzle away. They say, well, thank you very much. I really enjoyed being here. I hope I can come again and have a nice day and kumbaya and I'll be leaving now. And they just can't seem to end their talk. And that is the second most important part of any talk. Let's talk about the first part, the first words out of your mouth. The worst thing that you can say when you start your talk is something like, I would like to thank the president and the vice president of the organization for having me here. Or, can you hear me in the back? You're always going to get somebody who says no. Well, then how did you hear me say that? And you're off to a bad start. And probably the worst way I see people start a talk is they will start by saying, you're going to have to bear with me. I don't have to bear with anything, pal. I'm here listening to you speak. I paid to listen to you speak. Get going. You have to bear with me. My luggage was lost by the airlines. I don't care. Get talking. Those are three terrible ways to start a talk. Your first words should grab the audience and get them to say, what? Huh? Then you know you've got a great start to your talk. Grab the audience. So, to make something up, to be ridiculous, if I was giving a talk on weight loss, and again, I'm making this up, I'm supposed to give a talk on how to lose weight, and I walk out there and I say, three of the best foods that you could possibly eat that will not only be nutritious, but will help you lose weight like it's rolling off your body, are Snickers, Milky Way, and M&M's. Do I have the attention of the audience or not? Some of the people will think I'm crazy. Some of them will go, what's this about? Some of them will laugh. But it's a whole lot better than saying, you're going to have to bear with me. My plane was late. I don't have my luggage. I haven't had a lot of sleep. Grab the audience with your first words. They are so critical. And you know what I'm talking about. How many times have you gone to hear a speaker and in the first words, you knew this was going to be a dreadful speech? Don't let that happen to you. Your first words are like the headlines of a sales letter. Think of them exactly like that. If the first words of your sales letter are weak and timid, you lost the person. They went nowhere. They're not reading your sales letter anymore. Spend as much time creating the first words of your talk as you do creating the first words of a headline in a sales letter. Notice I didn't say the headline of a press release, because if you're following my system, it only takes 10 seconds to write a very powerful headline for your press release. So the first words, so critical. Now, here is probably, in my opinion, this is the most valuable information I'm going to give you today. You are using publicity. You are building up your celebrity status. You're using that to get speaking engagements, either by targeting the groups with your press releases or by phishing, or by doing both, preferably. You have great first words to say. You know how you're going to end your talk. You have a good product to make available to the people. It's all going well. So when you're putting your talk together, and I mentioned earlier that if you spend time putting a great talk together, it can provide you a tremendous living for a long, long time. When you're putting your talk together, always keep this one thing in mind. What you want to do is to create the inevitable conclusion in the minds of the people in the audience that they must have more of you. And I'll repeat that. This is so critical. When you put your talk together, you must create the inevitable conclusion in the minds of the people in the audience that they must have more of you. So your talk was put together so well that when you were done, the people in the audience came to the conclusion on their own that they want more of you. Now, what does more of you mean? More of you mean could mean they want consulting time with you. They want to buy your book. They want your CDs. They want your course. They want whatever you have available. But they must have more of you. If you've ever heard me speak at a seminar or you've seen the DVDs of me speaking, you know that I do no hard selling at the end. Because by the time I get to the end where I describe my product, I already have created in the minds of the audience the inevitable conclusion. They came up with this idea themselves. The inevitable conclusion that they must have more of me. At the very end of my talk, I don't make any sales pitch. All I do is tell the people what I know they're going to get today, which is my publicity kit. I provided them with so much proof that what I'm saying is true. I gave them so much social proof, the clips from all the TV shows that I was on. I hold up newspaper articles. I am the real deal from beginning to end. So when I finally get to the end, I don't have to do any sales pitch. Life becomes a whole lot easier when you don't have to sell anyone on anything, when they came up with this idea on their own. Let's talk about some of the myths and mistakes that people make when they are getting into the speaking business, or even if they've been in the speaking business for years. Probably the biggest mistake, and one that I addressed earlier, that is believing that fear will or even can stop you from being successful. I taught at the university here for many years. I taught in the health and medical profession department. One of the first things that I would say, the very first day of class, is there is no such thing as fear. Any fear you have, you made up. We're born with two fears, the fear of height falling and the fear of loud noise, the fear of falling and the fear of loud noises. That goes away automatically by the time you're 2 years old. So any fear that you have, you made up. There are things to be afraid of. A grizzly bear chasing your butt through the woods, there's something to be afraid of. But that's not fear. That's being a normal, rational human being, and that's called survival. There are lots of things to be afraid of. Hillary Clinton being elected president. There is something good to be afraid of. There is no such thing as fear. So this idea that you're going to get nervous, you're afraid to speak in front of people, you're making that up. That's all imaginary. and you're allowing that, you are allowing that imaginary fear to stop you from getting into what I feel is the greatest business in the world. Solve that problem. I've already given you a few ways to do it. Solve that problem and enjoy all the benefits of this tremendous business. Another myth, another mistake that people make in the business, and I hear this all the time, I'll bet you hear it all the time, the speaker right at the beginning of his or her talk says, you don't have to take notes, the outline that's being passed out has all the information you're going to need. What did that speaker just say to the audience? You don't have to listen to me. In fact, you can go take a nap, you can go back to your hotel room, you can go out to lunch, whatever you want to do, because I'm handing you all the information that you're going to need. If you've seen me speak, you notice I hand out nothing. I don't even hand out order forms. I hand out zero because I want people focusing on me and what I'm saying. I don't want them following notes, and I certainly don't want them to have an outline on all the information I'm going to be talking about because now they're not listening to me at all. Another mistake people make, and this I'll also answer a question on this topic. Huge mistake. Trying to teach people in your 60 minutes, your 75 minutes, your 90 minutes, whatever, trying to teach. It's not possible. That is not your job as a speaker. Now, let's separate two things right away. Being a speaker and being hired to teach something. That's called a trainer. That's not a speaker. So if a corporation hires you to train their employees on a software package, you're not a speaker. You're a trainer. Yes, you better teach somebody how to do something, and yes, you're going to be paid a set amount of money. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a speaker. Your job as a speaker is not to teach because you can't possibly teach anything in 60 minutes that's worth anything. Your job as a speaker is to open the eyes of the audience to opportunities that either they did not know existed or they knew the opportunities existed, but they didn't think that the opportunity pertained to them. That's your job as a speaker. If you try to teach, you will fail. I'll guarantee you that. But in your 60 or 90 minutes or whatever, you open the eyes of the audience to opportunities that they didn't even know existed, or you open their eyes to opportunities they knew existed but they didn't think pertained to them, you're going to win. When I give my talk, I'm opening the eyes of the audience to opportunities that they knew existed. Everybody knows about publicity. But the people in the audience didn't think that they could do it. They didn't think it pertained to them. That's why they never did it. That's your job. And now a question. I get so wrapped up in my content and educating people about leadership that I forget to pitch my product. What do I do? You're not wrapped up in educating people about leadership. You're wrapped up in your own ego. That's what that is. You think that you can get up there and actually teach people. Unless you're doing it for 8 hours or so, you can't teach them anything. That's your ego talking. Stop with the ego. It's costing you a lot of money. Open their eyes to opportunities. Your product then helps them realize that opportunity. My publicity kit helps people realize all the opportunities that are out there. It helps them take action. It helps them get that publicity that I've opened their eyes to. That's what you should be doing. All right, the next myth, the next mistake, believing that you must have a demo tape and a four-color brochure in order to be successful. As I said earlier, not only do I not have a four-color brochure or a demo, I never have, I can't imagine I ever will, and I'd like to see a speaker who's more successful than I am. Do you need one? We went over that. Think carefully. If you already have one, think about whether you should ever be using it. If you're trying to speak at the big marketing seminars and you've got a great product, I doubt you're going to need that demo video in the brochure. Somebody sold you on that, and you didn't really need it. The next myth is believing that you must work with a speaker's bureau in order to be successful. I have nothing against speaker's bureaus. I think they're fine for what they do. I've never used one. I doubt I'll ever use one, but that doesn't mean you shouldn't be using one. But if you do use one, what you must realize is that speaker's bureau is not there to provide you with a full-time living. That's not going to happen. What will happen, what may happen, is you may get 10% of your bookings through a speaker's bureau, maybe 15%, but you have got to know how the business works and how to use publicity to build up your celebrity status and get the doors open for you directly. speakers bureaus in general are not bad. I'm sure there are bad speakers bureaus out there, like there are bad everything, but my guess is that most speakers bureaus are just fine. If you want to use them, go ahead. They take a big percentage of what you are going to receive, big percentage of that money. I'd rather have that in my bank account. Another myth and another mistake, people believe that you can dress up like Thomas Edison or Mark Twain or somebody like that and get checks for $10,000 all the time just for coming and pretending that you're Mark Twain. Not going to happen. Maybe that happened somewhere. Maybe some one person is doing it somewhere. That's not a good model to follow. That is a very flawed model. You're a soft speaker. You have nothing there to really give the audience except to pretend that you are Mark Twain. That goes away very quickly, and whoever books speakers like that finds out that's a really expensive way to go. Another myth. People think that you need some kind of golden voice. You've got to have a great speaking voice. You can't have an accent. Nonsense. Total nonsense. People are there to listen to your information. As long as they can understand you, you're fine. I'll give you a very clear example to make my point. You can have the most dull, boring monotone, and you can be an extremely successful speaker. Your audience will be on the edge of their seats listening to every word you say. And here's how that would happen. Let's say that you're the speaker, dull, boring, monotone, and you are walking into an arena full of people. There are 20,000 people there. And as you walk up to the microphone, they are dead silent, and they're listening to every word you say. Because everyone in that arena is on the waiting list to get a heart transplant, and you are up there in your dull, boring, monotone, and you're saying, "Here are the four people who will be getting heart transplants today." Every person is looking at you. The whole arena of 20,000 people is dead silent. You are about the most boring speaker they have ever heard, but you have critical information that they want. That's the way you position yourself as a great speaker. You have information that the audience wants. Hopefully this is making a lot of sense now. And the people, and there were a lot of them, all the people who said, "How much do I get for a keynote, breakout, and everything else?" I hope you're seeing a whole new speaking business. I mentioned earlier that a lot of people say, "Geez, you know, what's there to learn? I can talk, so I guess I can be a professional speaker." They don't understand that this is a business. They don't learn the business. They fail, and then they start bad-mouthing the speaking business because they didn't take the very modest amount of time it took to learn how the business works. People also make a mistake in thinking that talking is the main part of the speaking business. Talking is the way you run your business. That's the way you actually execute your business. You get out there and you talk. There's a whole business behind it. And that business is creating that product, fulfilling the product, doing the teleseminars, doing coaching, all the stuff that I'll call behind the scenes. My 90-minute talk is the smallest part of my speaking business. Everything else, the newsletter, all these calls that I have, the teleseminar, the coaching calls that I have, everything else is the actual business itself. So talking, smallest part of your business, make sure you've got it all done. And as I mentioned, the biggest mistake, I'm going to end the myths and mistakes section here by reminding you that the biggest fallacy, the number one fallacy is, and you've heard this, you've all heard this, is that speaking in public is the number one fear. That's total nonsense. If you know this study, and I have no idea where this study came from, but on that list it says the number one fear amongst people is speaking in public. Number seven on that list is dying. So if we are to believe that list, if someone came to you and you said, "Would you mind standing up in front of this group and just telling us something about your hobby, the hobby you love so much?" You would say, "No thanks, please kill me." Does that make any sense to you at all? Of course not. Speaking in public is not the number one fear. It never has been. And in fact, when people get past that, they're thrilled. They see what a wonderful business this is. You've got to tie in your publicity. This is what's going to make you a superstar speaker. This is what's going to make you rise above all the other speakers out there. This is what's going to segment you from the tens of thousands of people out there who are speakers, who think they're speakers, who want to be speakers. You're going to be a speaker. You're going to have a hard topic. You're going to have a great product. You're going to have great first words out of your mouth. You're going to create a talk that in the audience will create this idea that they must have more of you, and they will come to that decision. You'll know the last words to say, how to end your talk, and end it cleanly. You will know that the speaking business has a huge behind-the-scenes section. That's where a lot of money is made. That's where a lot of opportunity lies. If you just want to go down the traditional path, again, that keynote speaker, fee schedule, all that, not use publicity, I think you've got a real rough road ahead of you, a road that I